Good evening, everyone. Thank you for attending our board meeting. If we can call the meeting to order at 6:03. And if we could start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And public comments. I understand we received no public comments. We will entertain a couple minutes if anyone would like to raise their hand. Is anyone out there who has a couple public comments they want to say? We'll give you a few minutes.
I don't think they can raise their hand, can they? No, maybe. We got rid of chat. Can they still raise their hand?
Yes, we can hear you.
I thought they could.
Public hand comes up on the screen.
They can.
So like a reaction.
Yeah, you can raise hands still.
Under reaction.
Under reaction.
Yep.
So maybe we can say that out loud.
You can clap. Your party hat.
So if you would like to say something under your reactions, you can put like a thumbs up. Okay. Going once. Going twice. Standing hands. Okay. That's it. Thank you all very much. Let's move on. Okay, let's move on to the minutes, the previous minutes. We all had the previous minutes. We had an opportunity to review them. Does anyone have any comments on the previous minutes? Are there any corrections, any additions, omissions? No.
I move we accept them as presented.
Any discussion?
Need a second.
Second.
Thank you, Helen, and Guy at the end. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye to accept the minutes.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried, thank you. And our head of school report?
I am not the head of school. But
you would play one on TV.
I will step in while Elias sees one of his son's final high school soccer games.
Yay.
Apparently, Sally's is up 3-0 at half. What? One of the few times in this room we can root for another school. And so I'm going to go through his report as normal. And I think in some of the building level updates, some of the deans may go through some of their own things that are on Zoom. So in the I'm going to share screen because he does that too. All right. In the in parent advisory councils, there was a meeting yesterday on 11/15. The parent survey data will be shared so we can create an action plan. The student advisory council, this group will meet directly with the head of schools and senior leadership to make sure programming and offerings are aligned with student interests, also to help improve offerings. Our first meeting is being planned for the end of the month. And the teacher advisory council, this committee will meet every 6 weeks to provide feedback. We will create the committee based on the panorama survey and are planning to start after the break next week. In the grant submissions category, we're in the process of applying for the Hope Impact Award, which could earn the school a $20,000 award. We'll keep you posted on our progress. The Safe and Supportive Schools Improvement Grant provides support for schools in implementing multi-tier supports for students, resources for curriculum and social, and emotional and behavior support systems. Odyssey was awarded earlier this week for $51,000. This grant will be used to continue our work in restorative practices, resources associated with our tiered support system, and a perception surveys we are now providing throughout our organization. The OCS grant writing team is gathering data, architectural plans, and other related documents to submit the applications to Longwood Foundation and the Welfare Foundation in the spring of 2023 cycle. Initial intake meetings have both occurred. For the code of conduct updates, the updating of the code of conduct has been completed. It has now been distributed within our schools. Parents should receive an electronic copy within the coming days. On the culture side, the parent camp session was held on October 20th and was another success. We had 100% of participants say their needs were met. Panorama survey results are being reviewed with the deans, and the volunteer recognition dinner will be held tomorrow, November 17th, to appreciate all who gave their time to beautify Building 26 and Building 20. Chat and Choose focus groups are starting again this month. Our first group is scheduled also for tomorrow, 11:15. And now we're getting to some building level updates. Sula, are you on?
Oh, I see you. I am actually, yes. I'm sorry, I don't have my camera on though. If you can give me, could you circle back to me in just 1 minute and I'll be ready for you?
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Say, Adrian, do you want to start with the middle school?
I can totally jump in. So our eighth grade students had a fantastic time at the high school during their step up day on November 2nd. They got to do a lot of really exciting activities. I peeked in on some of them. I got to see them extract DNA from a strawberry in one of their activities. We watched them tie-dye their class of 2027 t-shirts, which they now get to wear to school. We got to taste some of the herbs that are being grown in the hydroponic labs. We got to hear some music from the Spanish classes. It was just a really fantastic experience. I got a lot of great feedback from our kiddos. They had a great time, and I just want to give a shout out to the high school if I can, because they really did a fantastic job organizing that for our eighth graders. Yesterday, our sixth grade class and our eighth grade classes took the social studies statewide DESA exam, and testing went off without a hitch. We were very fortunate. We are still waiting to get all the scores in so we can disseminate. It's the first of three exams that they'll take this year. Last year was the first year, I believe, that they piloted that test. So I'll be able, once we can analyze the scores, I'll be able to share that with the board. Also on November 9th and 10th, our sixth grade class had Jeff, whoever's moving it, I know this stuff, but I don't know it completely by heart, so give me a sec. I will say they got to run through the Eagles tunnel, and I am not a huge Eagles fan, but I know for everybody from around here, that was like a huge deal for them. It's not as exciting to me as it would have been if they would have done it in the old Joe Robbie Stadium for the Miami Dolphins. But hey, I hear you. You guys are big Eagles fans over here. And yes, they also got to learn about the eco-friendly green program that the Lincoln Financial Center has to offer. Although I'm pretty sure that took a backseat to roaring through the tunnels and having the music play as they ran out on the field. Next exciting thing that we have coming up is the middle school's second annual STEAM project. It's the Gingerbread Workshop, which is taking place on December 2nd, thanks to Dr. Alexandra Milonis, who is setting this up. And I didn't put it on the head of school report. I should have. For the first time ever, I want to say, well, it's going to be for the first time ever in Odyssey Middle School history, since I've been in the middle school since its inception, we will have a Science Olympiad team. And this year in the spring, we will compete in Science Olympiad. Now, this is our first year, so I can't promise you we're going to be bringing home the gold, but we will be bringing home something. So I'm very excited about our kids participating in this. This is being organized by Mr. Nick Manilakis. He is the advisor for the, or the coach for Science Olympiad, and I will be reporting more as soon as we have more information on it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Adrian.
Absolutely. Ashley, are you wanting to hop on for the high school?
Sure. I can unmute myself, it looks like. Hi, everyone. So we are, one of our big things that we did this past month was our college application week. It was the end of October, the week of October 25th. We had lots of volunteers in to help with our students as well as our school counselors. And they worked on their college applications during the school day ahead of the November 1st early decision and early action deadline. Our students have reported to us that they have completed over 140 applications. We do believe it's actually a little bit higher of a number because not all of them have reported all of their applications yet. Our school counselors are working hard to make sure that they get all that data from our students. We've also already started to get some acceptances back, including acceptances to Penn State University main campus, Temple University, University of Delaware, Drexel, Michigan Tech, Newman, and Delaware State have already accepted some of our students. So that's really exciting news for them. I know I was talking to one of our seniors and they told me that they actually got into like a few other schools too and they just hadn't reported it yet. So we know that that number is sure to grow. We are also asking that everybody mark their calendars for our conferences that are happening next Monday and Tuesday. We have conferences on Monday the 21st from around 1 p.m. to about 7:30 and on the 22nd in the morning. And we are also gearing up for our upcoming winter ball. So we're adding a formal, semi-formal dance for our students this year. So it is open to all grade levels, similar to homecoming, but it's a little bit more of a dinner dance type event. So there will be dinner included and it'll be held at the Claymont Ballroom on Friday, January 20th, which is right after all of our students complete their midterm exams. So they will be finished midterms on Thursday and then get to dance the day away or night away at the ball on Friday night. We also recently had a lot of potential families and students at the high school in the past few weeks. We had our open house on the 22nd. We had our special event for rising ninth grade families on the 27th, the rolling out the blue carpet. And then as Adrian already spoke to, we had all of our current eighth graders, our rising ninth graders from the middle school over at the school for step up day on November 2nd. And in terms of recognitions, we'd like to recognize the following seniors in the class of 2023 who have already reported college and university acceptances this year. Those students are Leah Kozlowski, Juliet Macri, Xavier Marriott, Ayush Patel, Moksh Patel, Lainey Scott, Walter Thompson, and Charlotte Walder.
That's awesome.
I just wondered, before we move on, does anyone have any questions for either Adrian or Ashley? Anything follow up? No?
No.
Okay, thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Sula, are you good?
I am, yes. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my camera, though, but I'm happy to read the report, if that's okay. Can everyone hear me all right?
Yep.
You can? Yeah? Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes.
So for the lower school, we had a very exciting day yesterday. As everybody knows, I just wanted to thank the entire community and everyone in the other buildings, and mostly just give a huge, huge shout out to our students. Our young students know exactly what to do when there is a fire drill or they need to leave the building, and we were incredibly, incredibly proud of them. So thank you all, and definitely every parent on here. Your child deserves a huge hug and a big high five. We were so impressed by our kids. We also have parent-teacher conferences on the 21st and 22nd. Homeroom teacher will be sending immersed conferences.
Man, we lost you. Priscilla.
Sorry, did I lose you?
Yep. Yeah, you're back.
I am so sorry. So yes, our parent teacher conferences are on the 21st and 22nd as well. Immersion conferences start tomorrow on Friday on Zoom. Please tell most of our patches. We have some more training. If you're purchasing patches, please be sure to actually email me with your home teacher student name, how many balloon patches, so that I can fill them more quickly, and you can send the velocity payment screenshot directly to me. But I believe the bulk of them have been filled, so we do expect students to begin wearing their uniforms and the shirts with the patches on them. Any remaining patches can be filled by me, and we're sending home friendly reminders by the homeroom teachers or dojo updates for students who are not wearing their uniform. The uniform policy is linked to the parent communication as well.
Lost you again.
We can move on to intermediate school while Dr. Davis gets a little bit more connectivity.
No,
he's not on. I can read the intermediate school update. This year will bring many exciting changes to Odyssey as a whole and to the intermediate school. We are offering activities for students to participate in outside of their regular academic schedules, as well as during the school day. Fourth grade DESA social studies field test was 20 questions with no accommodations, and that's from November 14th to the 18th this week. Students are recognizing Geography Awareness Week, which is also this week. Fifth grade AAA safety patrol has 20 students participating. The new early dismissal time for the students will end at 2:45 at the intermediate school. This has increased the number of students in school for their entire school day. The bank at the school program is underway, and the after school programs include science explorers classes, young Rembrandt's art classes, fusion freestyle martial arts, drama kids, and YMCA dodgeball camp.
I can try one more time. I'm sorry, everyone.
Okay.
So I just wanted to thank everyone and our counselor, Ms. Angelo, for our Fall Owl of the Month celebration. We opened this to families for the first time to do a celebration, and it was a great success. Thank you to everyone who came. We also have a re-edition room full swing at the elementary school at this point in K-2. So students addressing correct behavior in the redirection room with an adult, they complete a think sheet and engage in a restorative conversation guided by a caring adult, either their teacher or our advisor or other staff members who we are staffing the room with. So this is a great tool to get students a little break when they need to be redirected and to reflect and come back ready to live in their classroom. We also have our
Why don't we just go ahead? The green team is growing lettuce in our cafeteria, which I've seen, and it's awesome, which is great because the price of lettuce is through the roof, according to the food service area. So growing our own is both economical and environmentally friendly. Students are excited to witness our hydroponic lab in action. And they're excited to announce the initiation of the walking and running club. The green team will also be up running soon. Be on the lookout for an after-school coding club as well. Lots of exciting after school opportunities in the lower school.
I like that lettuce growing thing. Can we come by it too? I think we need to have our little farmer's market at some point.
Melissa Tracy does do one of that ilk with Dr. Milonis in the middle school as well.
Between the goats and the goat cheese on there. Do we have any out of state travel that needs to be? Did you see any on that?
Hi, I have a question. Hi, I raised my hand, but I didn't raise it in time. This is the mom of a new student in high school.
Okay, generally just so you know, we don't usually take questions during our board meetings. We usually have that time at the beginning of the meeting, but
I heard somebody say if there were any questions for Ms. Lipson, and I tried to hit my reaction button, but I didn't hit it in time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was generally meant from the board. The board had questions.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I can wait. That's fine.
If you have questions for Ms. Lipson, just shoot her an email.
I will do that. Okay? Thank you.
It does look like there's one request.
And I have one more out-of-state travel request, but it's not on there, I believe. I'm trying to find the link so I can type it in. But we are looking for approval for 10th grade to go to Washington, D.C. to the Holocaust Museum, December 19th or 16th. We're still finalizing the transportation with our transportation department.
And what was the other one that's on there?
16th or 19th. It's the Friday or the Monday.
Right. And you said it was one.
Yeah, so it looks like it's a, and I'll read it through. We're seeking retroactive approval to fund a training for the lower school music teacher that occurs once per year and happened between the board meetings. The teacher was offered this professional development as a result of attending a previous PD session. It was not aware of it prior to the board meeting. We are seeking reimbursement for her incurred costs. The PD session was geared towards the music department, which has limited content specific PD. And this particular PD allows the teacher to incorporate literacy into the music curriculum, which is a chief objective of our academic program. The PD session took place in Washington, DC. All parties are aware of our out-of-state approval system, but this presented a unique opportunity to improve our program.
So the travel happened on?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they said it happened between our board meeting.
I think generally just email us and let me, if at all possible, ask for approval ahead of time. If not, just send us an email so we at least know about it and have it documented before. You agree?
I agree.
Before
it actually happens.
Yeah. And we're budgeted for the DC the Holocaust Museum trip when we'll get there.
Yeah, that's usually student funded.
The museum itself is free. The students would need to support the cost of, like, basically gas to run our out-of-state school buses.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I move to retroactively approve the training and proactively approve the museum trip.
Second?
Yes, sir. We'll give it to him.
And is there any discussion? Again, I think the only thing is just in the future, even though it happens suddenly, just shoot us an email and let us know, just so we're aware of what's going on and we can approve it. We have no problem with everyone learning and growing their professional development and the classes. We want everyone to grow. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried.
Right.
You're at feedback here.
We're through the schools.
Okay. Dr. Ioana is not here tonight, but I think Eva, she did present a report, and I think Eva is going to read the report for us.
Yes, I apologize in advance. I'm awfully congested. So the Greek program report, for the lower school, our teachers have started preparing winter songs in Greek. We look forward to showing to our community how much our students enjoy their progress in Greek language and how much fun they have to sing in Greek. For the high school, project-based learning students will study winter traditions in Greece and other European countries and all around the world and compare them to American traditions. At the intermediate and the middle school, we start our outreach activities and collaborations with schools in Greece. Our students will collaborate with students from the Pierce College of Athens and the American Farm School in Thessaloniki. Our goal to practice the production of the written language with native speakers of Greek at the same age. And finally, last week, 11-9, the Immersion Expansion Committee had the first meeting We presented the goal of these meetings while encouraging discussions about the next steps in the immersion program. The committee will be meeting every second Wednesday of the month, and everyone is welcome. So I believe it's next Wednesday now. That's all from Dr. Lekaku.
Thank you very much, Eva. Feel better.
Thanks.
Jeff, you were at feedback.
Was that?
You were at feedback. Just to put you back where you were.
You want me to go hop back in there?
Only if you want to present.
Happy to.
Because you're up next, man.
Okay. So I'm going to close out the head of school report, and then I can hop into the monthly financials. The responses to the parent feedback, we're currently reviewing the feedback data from the fall panorama survey to determine next areas of focus for the academic year. OCS has hired a campus security officer for our front entrance based on some of the, obviously the changes to the front plaza we have on the campus. We've created seasonal events calendars to supplement the weekly communication so families across schools are aware of the exciting happenings across our schools. On the curriculum instruction and assessment side, on the curriculum side, for Amplify, all Amplify materials arrived on Friday, October 14th. We experienced significant shipping delays. We are excited to offer the program both digitally and traditionally with consumables. November 28th and 29th, Amplify representatives are coming to complete walkthroughs with our CIA team to ensure the curriculum is being used effectively and address questions and or concerns that we may have about the implementation and materials. For HB 198, per the HB 198 implementation, Juliana Sheehan met with all K-12 academic staff, and they have shared where they are currently teaching and noting where they can add curriculum relating to Black history. Document has been compiled, shared with the board, and vetted through the academic leadership team prior to sharing with the DOE on Monday evening. If you have any questions about where we are, what we are working on, and where we are going, feel free to email Juliana Sheehan at her email address below. On the instruction side, for coaching, the CIA team is continuing to work with teachers in different capacities. Coaching includes observations, planning, classroom management, assessments, best practices, and additional supports. There's been walkthroughs. The academic leadership team is in their second round of building walkthroughs. The focus of this set is on student engagement. And for professional development, in PLCs, the CIA team has shared assessment analysis cycles with the academic staff to let formative and summative data inform student understanding and next steps for all students. On the assessment side, from the district testing administrator, digital SAT suite in-school study was completed on November 10th, 2022 with 10th and 11th graders. We had 83% participation and received positive feedback from the DOE representatives that were on site observing the administration. OCS will receive about $2,500 from participating in this study. AP exams were ordered for students enrolled in AP classes, and the DESA SS through year assessments have begun this week for grades 4, 6, and 8. Financial update, we'll save that for Jeff. Transportation. Evan, do you want to get this?
Yeah.
Sure. In October, we ran 99.898% on time for all OCS routes. We ran 986 routes in October. We are contracting for Red Clay, the Charter School of Newcastle, the Independent School, Padua, Tatnall, and others. This is on top of our route commitment to Red Clay and the Charter School of Newcastle when we have the capacity. OCS always comes first. If you know someone who wants to drive a bus or has a CDL, please have them call our office. And the transportation dashboard for October is on the website. In the student services area, for our English language learners, the ELL department will be hosting two upcoming parent information sessions on November 21st and 22nd at 12 p.m. to share information regarding testing, instruction, and support for language learning at home. The week of December 5th, the ELL department will lead PLCs for faculty across all four schools focused on best practices for English language acquisition in the classroom. The University of Delaware has been awarded a $2.6 million professional development grant, which provides a route to EL teacher certification at no cost. Since the Odyssey supported the initial grant application, Odyssey teachers, staff, and community members will receive a preference in selection for the program. We hope this builds our capacity to support English language learners across the school. More information to come. For our multi-tier supports, kindergarten continues to be supported with their tier one supports for social emotional learning in terms of sensory and spatial awareness from our OT in collaboration with homeroom teachers to support building capacity to support students within the classroom. The lower school MTSS has begun this week. Students are meeting with their tier teacher and will begin working on areas of need through intervention over the next 9 weeks. Addition of a new K-3 reading review for our MTSS structure to better support students to remain in school through classroom management and restorative practices as Title 14 outlines in support of decreased out-of-school suspension. Student advisors are meeting with staff this week to review the newly revised code of conduct, ensuring that all staff have access and understanding to the changes. In special education, school EDs are working on supporting the December 1st count, which will be used to determine the school's compliance and the federal indicators for the 21-22 school year. Parent council has been rescheduled. Emails will go out with the new dates. Other family resource for student of transition age 14 through 21 years old, supported by the Newcastle County Transition Team. On January 13th, benefits and Social Security for students with disabilities. February 2nd, College Night for students with disabilities. March 22nd, TBD Transition Fair. April 20th, Alternative to Guardianship. And May 18th, Special Needs Healthcare for students with disabilities. On the IT side, Mr. Harlan Beatis, do you want to give this or? Okay. Sure. We've completed the new digital signage system throughout the campus and provided access to all departments to maintain their updates. We can actually see that in use right now for the display of this meeting. We completed the Blue Box Theater setup with all AV and video and sound upgrades and created and deployed a new online calendar-based reservation system with approval messages for common areas of our school. We also plan on installing 4 outdoor access points around the lower school to provide Wi-Fi access around the building and the playground, pending the lift rental, which is currently here on campus. On the facility side, a big welcome back to John Stewart and integrating him to all things that the facilities department has been in his absence. On the food service side, one other quick update on the facility side. I know last meeting we talked in depth about the roof situation in the lower school, building 26. Happy to report there was no new leaks from the recent weather events. So the short-term patching has been working at the moment. So we'll keep our fingers crossed there. For food service, thank you to all the families that have filled out a meal benefit form. If you have not done so, please fill one out as soon as possible and submit it to us for processing. The forms can be found on our website under the food service tab. Forward all completed applications to Kim Olansky. Also, please note that a new form is required every year. Forms do not carry over from year to year. Also, any balances that your child had pre-COVID is still owed to the school. You can check the account online at myschoolaccount.com. Money in parentheses is a negative balance. Any questions, please do not hesitate to contact Kim. I wanted to add one other item for the food service portion. Today was a big day in the food service area as it was the giving of thanks meal for all 4 buildings. And I was fortunate to join some of the other senior leadership team members that had to get to serve that out. And the kids were very excited about turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, and all the fixings. Yeah. So we had a great time with that. And, you know, the food service team does a really great job every day for our students. Fundraising development. We're still in the process of hiring a development specialist that will complete, coordinate, administer future events, solicitations, and administrative functions. The planning for Gala 2.0 is still underway, targeting May 6th as a potential date. The Health and Wellness Fair Committee had a preliminary meeting and is targeting a date of April 29th for the event. More information to come, as well as peer-to-peer fundraising efforts to partner with nonprofits and primarily fundraise for the school. We have begun the legwork to identify health fair partners for our April event and have crafted hard copy content to be used in the recruitment of participating partners. Current targets include several national healthcare nonprofits, local businesses, and area healthcare providers. We have selected a vendor we'd like to work with for the peer-to-peer fundraising aspect with our health fair event and 5K event. We are in the process of setting up the software and testing its capabilities. The chosen system is GiveButter, which gives free platform costs, charging only typical transaction fees for credit card processing. To learn more about the capabilities we hope to deploy, and you can visit givebutter.com. Plans for the continuing GRIT campaign, this year's annual appeal, and the next quarterly development newsletter will all be reviewed in the next week and set for execution. Human resources? Ms. Beamer, you want me to?
You can continue.
Okay.
You've done such a great job.
Special education vacancies and updates. All positions have been filled. Middle school is fully staffed with a new teacher starting this past Monday. High school negotiations are being finalized with an outside agency for a veteran high school teacher to join our staff. Current educator returning from paid parental leave in January will fill the final vacant high school position. The faculty and staff handbook, initial draft reviewed by members of SLT, second round of draft revisions being finalized for review prior to board submission. The preliminary CBA negotiation meeting took place in November, requesting information provided to OCSEA. The next meeting is going to be agreed upon. Odyssey recruiting event is tentatively set for March 28, 2022, planning to begin next month, which we're very excited about. We cover the board approvals. Safety and security. Me? Okay.
Please.
During school hours between 9 a.m. and 1:45 p.m., a safety representative, Mr. Kenny Ball, retired PA corrections officer for 30 plus years, has begun monitoring campus with uptick in traffic on campus since the opening of Wegmans. We're still gathering data on both traffic flow and waiting on a few quotes for gates before we determine next steps on the front of the campus. A safety and security meeting will be planned for the beginning of December. ALICE training scheduled for January 3rd, 2023, the final ALICE training for all OCS employees. And the stop sign at the front of campus is not significantly affecting our traffic flow at this time. Okay. That concludes the head of school report.
Two questions. The staff code of conduct, will that go to council before it comes to the board like the student code of conduct did?
I think it did. I think it already did.
It just didn't say that, so I wasn't sure.
Which council? The parent council?
No, counselor, like lawyers.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
But yes. I think it didn't, I think it already did go to
the The one draft did, yes, and so the final will be as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, second question is it the Blue Box Theater or the Blue Box Theater? Is it two words?
Two words, Blue Box Theater.
Okay.
I believe. Does that sound right, Dina?
One word.
Blue Box Theater? Okay. So you got two conflicting answers. I'm sorry.
What's the signage?
There's no signage made for it yet.
Okay.
Just digitally, it's one word.
Okay. One word for now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, play on
Blackhawks. Blackhawks. I have a question about the spec ed hirings. So the high school one you said we're still negotiating. Mm-hmm. Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
And this is a certified spec ed teacher?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other questions for the head of school? In chair or temporary? Sit in, fill in, report.
I wanted to ask about the back exit towards Lancaster Avenue. I mean, yesterday's event, I don't know if I can call it an event, but although it had a wonderful outcome and everybody's safe and sound, it brought back the question of, should we have another exit out of our complex? And since there is one already, have we looked into reopening that exit? It would decongest the traffic, and in situations like what we have had yesterday, it's not going to be bottled up all the way to 141. Have we looked into that? What's the cost? Where are we?
So, yes. I looked into that last year, and
and the cost is somewhere between $75,000 to $150,000, and it's not guaranteed because it's a shared exit. Now, in a true emergency, could we use that exit? Yes. So we can open that up. We can push cars. We can push buses. We can push whoever we want out there. We looked into it of just navigating cars through there, not buses. And that would possibly help us. But legal did say to us, the same legal that did Petinaro's full complex, said that it's up in the air because there's two other people who we share that, which is the veterinary complex and then the Mercedes-Benz dealership. And if either of them have conflicting interests or just say, no, we don't want, our estimation was 250 cars to 300 cars a day that would just exit through there. DOT might make us do a major traffic study, which is something that Petinaro did. They could end up saying no. So we could spend $150,000 and then they say no. And financially, we weren't ready to do that.
But can we communicate with them before we spend the money?
So yes, but that would have to be through legal. So either way, we have to touch legal because I would go knock on their door and talk to them, but I don't have that capability of doing it or the legal understanding of having those conversations about why we're doing it and how we're doing it.
Okay, I think we have to look at least look into that.
I would love if the board would do that. Whoever wants to step up, more than welcome to.
I think we should be careful with how.
And that's why
I assume we have a lead contact at Petinaro that is not an attorney that you would, or that Odyssey has as their main business contact, but accurate. We've got to have somebody, mm-hmm. Right?
So I am actually meeting with him tomorrow. So, and he was on a lot of those calls and he was on those specific attorney calls. And his recommendation was when you're ready to spend the money, but you have to be ready to lose potentially $150,000 for them to say, no, we're not going to do this.
And who's the them again that would say no?
It's us going through the motions and saying, this is what we want to do. And it's either the Department of Transportation, so the state of Delaware, saying, no, this is not going to be an egress for you.
So
and or both the veterinary hospital or the Mercedes-Benz dealership, you know, us spending, you know, call on the low side, say $75,000. And the veterinary says, yes. And the Mercedes-Benz, they were
just to add to what I was saying, that estimate is a low estimate of what it would take to just, at the very minimum, have it be functional. It would not,
well, and that's not,
it would not be the total cost, but in order to actually make it a second entrance.
Yeah.
It's not construction cost.
The second entrance requires a lot of utility relocation and moving and planning and everything. Now you're probably going to the $500,000 mark of trying to get that to become as a second entrance. There's other options that we can explore, which hopefully as you know, we move forward in the next year or two, that might become a better alternative.
I think it makes sense to do the official application. Certainly there's some costs. We could probably reach out to some of our neighbors and just assess, hey, do you, like, philosophically, Ben's dealership, would you have a problem with this? It's not set in stone, it's not for sure, but it'd be good to at least get a sense of, like, the folks in our neighborhood. If we ever pursued this, would they be staunchly opposed, or are they sort of like, hey, let's wait and see?
Yeah.
Well, and I think one of the major issues on the facility side is we have to move the entire transformer.
Yeah, it requires
from our, and again, that's, we looked into it a couple of years ago.
Just to get access to open it up and move in and out, there's no light at that entrance. It's going to cause problems.
Well, is this
from a neighbor standpoint? Sooner or later, it's going to come back to bite us.
Are we saying we recognize that it's, that having a second entrance is something that we should do?
So it would never be an exit. It would only be an exit.
Okay, sorry, whatever.
Second
exit is something we should do, but the timing and all the steps to require of it are to sort of explore it are so much that we're just sort of saying this year we're not going to look at it, but we are going to look at it next year, or are we just sort of kicking it forward in the future? Because it sounds like there's a lot of pre-work whenever we actually look at this.
We did some of that pre-work with legal last fall, I believe. There is, we're also, I think Dino alluded to it, there is alternative options that are in such a preliminary form that they're not even at the discussion level of this, but we're trying to look at alternatives to that specific point, maybe at a point where there already is a light to reduce the Department of Transportation need. So
do you think, Anna Maria, as we think about some of the strategic planning conversations, that should be a part of it, maybe? At least deciding to think about when we're going to address it. We can include it. I mean, it's definitely something that needs to be addressed.
Thank you.
Now, facilities. So let's just have a little talk about the our little occupations that we had yesterday. I'm glad that everyone's safe and everything is fine. How, from a perspective of, when you go through the training and there's certain things that have to happen, how did we react in regards to that? I mean, because I know when you have your first incident, like this, things get a little crazy and everybody gets all over the place. Everybody starts throwing their hands up and screaming and running for the exit doors. Did we learn something? Was it effective? I know everything went well, but I'm sure everything didn't go perfectly, but hopefully we figured out what needed to get done and how we get it done and how we can improve. God forbid, let's hope it doesn't happen again.
So I'll touch base on this. And this is called a reunification. And we've done this once before. So I've been doing this, been an administrator now for 10 years, and it's happened twice in, right? So once every 5 years. So I'll retire in probably 20 more years, so we'll do it probably 4 more times. But at the end of the day, this is called a reunification. And an evacuation, which is what occurred first, went very well. The students were all out of the building, and yes, there was a real fire. So what do we do next? And then we move the students to this building. We did not feel ready, even though the fire department did say probably about 45 minutes after we sent the communication that you can go back into the building, but we did not want to put our little ones back in that building. And then we committed to a reunification, which was us communicating with parents a different way to pick up their children. It's obviously abnormal. We always dismiss everybody is off campus every day by 4 o'clock. And yesterday, everybody was off campus by 4:05. Now, we did cancel some after school events. We did make some changes. DEMA, which is Delaware Emergency Management Association, has an after action report, as if you were in the military. And they do that because they want to talk about when an event like this occurs, like what can we do different? What were our strengths? What were our weaknesses? And I actually pushed that out to all staff today. And then we're going to start debriefing on that and talk about what we can do differently and how we can do it better.
In 5 years.
Hopefully never again, but without a doubt in 5 years or less. Yeah.
Okay, great. So, thank you.
Thank you.
We haven't
come through
your financial report yet, have we?
You've
been talking a lot tonight.
Couple more things. Sure, we can hop into that.
Wherever you are. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, you're on a flow.
We're on
track. All right, we're gonna go through the monthly finance report as we're through October 31st, 2022, which represents 4 months or 33% of the fiscal year. Just crazy we're there. On the revenue side, as we discussed, the preliminarily budgeted revenues are $41.3 million. Revenues collected to date are $27.1 million, or 65.6% of the budgeted amount. Revenues received during October were relatively standard. We did receive the remaining preloads from the local districts, which represents that $1 million figure. And we did some contracting transportation catch-up revenue, which represents a large piece of the donation and other revenue line of the $87,000. On the expenditure side, preliminarily budgeted expenditures are $33.7 million. Expenses to date are 12.9 million, representing 39% of the budget, which is exactly where we were at this point during fiscal year 2022. Some other items to add. With the unit count now completed, we've taken a look at preliminary projections forward. And so those projections include a $400,000 decrease to the state revenue and a $600,000 increase to the local revenue. And the decrease is based on our unit count being slightly below, the 20 student below where we budgeted to be. And the $600,000 increase to local revenue represents an increase in the spending from the district's last fiscal year. So the per student income that we receive was a larger percentage than we had budgeted for. $750,000 from the expansion grant has been received during November to begin recode and spend down. $775,000 from the consolidated grant has been received during October. OCS will be creating and submitting tuition tax bills, which we did, for the previous fiscal year and projected next fiscal year by their due date of yesterday, November 15th. In transportation, an increase in contracted routes have resulted in increased expenses and increased associated revenue. Current projections are estimating the impact and preliminarily showing a net $70,000 increase to department net income. To date, $485,000 of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminary budgeted amount of $1.8 million, which will be increased to about $2.4 million with new grants. As funding has recently become available, expense recodes will take place over the next few months. The projected year-end cash on hand is $8.3 million, of which $7.3 million is unrestricted and $940,000 will be restricted for federal funds. Any questions on the monthly report?
Was that a question or just a... Are there any questions?
I'd like to motion that we approve the monthly web report as presented.
Second? Whoever second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passed. Do you have anything else? Are you done?
Good for now. I'll pop back in later for the grades.
You've been on such a roll. I just didn't want to blow your steam. Okay. CBOC.
Jeff, you want to get that report? We reviewed good evening, Evan Winokur again. We did have two new members that joined the CBOC, Ms. Evans and Mr. Jackson. Both are parents of high school students here in Odyssey. So welcome to the CBOC. We reviewed the same monthly October financial report that Jeff just went over. We reviewed our P-card transactions, had some questions about them. They were all answered. There was a suggestion by our DOE representative to make sure that our financial training was given to our two new representatives, and it already has been given to them. Our December meeting is going to be canceled. We're going to pump that to January. Weird to say this, January 18, 2023, and the meeting was adjourned this evening at 5:45. That is it.
Thank you very much. Diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Yeah, we, the subcommittee, the outreach subcommittee, has our fourth OCS food drive next week. Nurse Paula Lowe and I are co-chairs, but this is an event that brings the whole community together. The families brought us all canned goods today. We had a dress down day. The students helped us organize and catalog the items we have. The middle school, I think, honor society with Miss Dawson, and the high school technology society with Miss Kalima, they came and helped. The administration offered us promised us about 20 turkeys, and even board members supported us financially. And we want to make sure that every OCS family has a happy Thanksgiving. And we want to teach our students the value of giving, empathy, and compassion. I hope Nurse Low is on. Maybe she wants to say a couple things about this. Are you on, Paula? No?
Hi, I'm here. Thank you, Eva, for speaking on behalf of the food pantry and the outreach committee. We have, in the past, I think this is our fourth food drive that we've had, and we've distributed turkeys for a few years. This year, we've had at least 14 baskets requested and one that I'm unsure about, so about 15 full turkey dinners that are going to be distributed on Monday. The administration, I want to thank you for stepping up and helping us to acquire the turkeys. I would like to give much gratitude to the whole OCS community for coming together to make this happen. The food pantry not only has served many families by times I've delivered food to homes of families that had a urgent need. We've also been able to take money donations and get coats and very specific items that were needed for families that were in a crisis. We've had a very successful time over the last 3.5 years of running this food pantry to try to match the needs of families with some urgent needs. So if you are a family member in need, please reach out to Eva or myself anytime. I'm the nurse in the intermediate building, Paula Lowe, should you need to contact me. I want to give a lot of gratitude specifically to the Honor Society, who has stepped up and really taken this on as a pet project. The junior, the middle school Honor Society, Teresa Dawson has helped them to volunteer for us. They've helped stock my shelves. They showed up today, as well as at least 5 of the students from the Technology Society with Sonny. I had over 10 volunteers today. They organized all the food that came in from the dress down. That was an idea of the Honor Society, and they have done a lot of work communicating with administration and getting permission for the dress down day. That was their idea, and it was very successful. I'm very impressed by the maturity and the organization of those members of the Honor Society who have been very helpful, particularly Ashi Kadakia and Julia Soudan in the middle school, who have communicated with me directly and to administration directly, trying to make this happen. And, you know, it is going to be helpful for some of our Odyssey families. But in addition, we got an excess of food that will stock our food pantry. If there's any great excesses I don't think we can place with our families, I do plan to donate those to a charity that will immediately distribute it to families in need. So nothing goes to waste. I do know that there are some ideas being tossed around in another drive that might help supplement some other needs like toiletries and coats and mittens that have in the past been something a lot of our families have benefited from the pantry from. So thank you, everybody, all of our families that came together for this. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula.
Great job. Thank you for helping us feel good. Immersion. We heard briefly in the report Eva gave for Dr. Ioana that the immersion committee meets on the second Wednesday of every month. If you would like to participate, there'll be a link sent out every month. We talk about the future of the Greek program and how we can improve it, how we see it growing into the high school, where we see it, and how other ways that we can develop it. So we do look for parent interaction. We look for teacher, staff, everyone to be a part of it, because that is the crux of our school, and the reason why we all came here is to learn about this. So
It's an integral part, so hopefully you will come and give us your opinions and your ideas. Finance. Our finance committee, do we have anything? I think Jeff pretty much covered a lot on the finance committee.
We can probably provide a little update from our most recent investor call. We shared the financials and enrollment updates with the bond investors, and they recommended, based on the governance and fiscal stability of where the school is at the moment, to switch from quarterly meetings to annual meetings. So we'll be touching base face-to-face with them on a less regular basis, but it's going well there.
That's really great.
Really good step.
Yeah.
It's a huge step. All it takes is a new treasurer. And
see what happens?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's the
I just showed up for the meeting.
Okay. Fundraising and development. I don't think Georgia is on, but I think I heard you say that Gala 2.0 is scheduled for May 26th. May 6th.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
6 or 26.
6.
Yeah, that's what I had to
put. That and the health and wellness fair are kind of the main event planning going on at the moment.
Okay, and we're looking to a development director. Is that what you said? A development
coordinator. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if any of you know, please look on our website. We're looking for a development coordinator to help with fundraising efforts. And if any of our parents are available who would like to help with our fundraising efforts, as you know, we all have a lot. We have huge needs in our school. And it's hard for us to all dig into our own pockets, the parents, teachers, board. So we need to go out and find these funds. So let's go out and find them. There's deep pockets out there. We need to go find them. So if you can help with that, we can use this view on this committee. Accountability committee.
Sure. So we're in the early stages of working through parameters of sort of how the committee should engage with the broad array of stakeholders in a way that's productive and appropriate. One of the initial areas we're focused on is gaining kind of an on-the-ground understanding of the culture and atmosphere and experience of being a member of the Odyssey community. And that'll help us determine areas of where we want to focus our efforts and where we want to deepen engagement. As a first step there, we're going to start with an anonymous engagement survey that'll be sent to all staff members from the board committee directly. We're really eager to hear firsthand from staff at all levels what excites them about working at Odyssey, why they, you know, come back year after year, but also some of the opportunities that exist for increased support and engagement, particularly as we really try to understand where we may not see or may not be able to get involved. So really curious, we'll send that shortly, probably in the next week, 2 weeks, maybe right after Thanksgiving, and really appreciate everyone's candid feedback to help us kind of get a really good kind of on the ground understanding.
Safety and security. We had Evan, I think, pretty much touched on a lot of that. So, again, if anyone wants to be on that committee, wants to know about any parents, please reach out to us. Let us know if there's so we can grow that group.
We already have a meeting in December.
You have a meeting in December?
We will schedule one. Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes.
All right.
We've had 1 month of Wegmans. Has it settled down?
It's been about. And this is an average of 5 cars to 12 cars. Most cars are doing a K turn. Most cars are seeing somebody outside, realizing that it's private property. We put the new signs were up there before Wegmans started. But it almost needs to be like a hologram, so you have to like drive through it, because it's a lot of people over the age of 65 are shopping in the middle of the day, and they're either thinking that they can get out this way or they're exploring. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So there hasn't been a downtick yet. So 5 today, though. Not bad.
A large uptick in staff members visiting for meals.
Breakfast, lunch, and
dinner. Yeah. 3 times.
I tell you, it's going to cost you money. Do we have a private property sign up there or anything? I didn't notice.
So we have three, and they're 2 foot by 2 foot. There are also stop signs on the gates. You don't normally see the stop signs on the top, but the gates open, right? But when Hampton Gate is closed, there's someone there with a safety vest on. A lot of people are seeing that, and they're doing a K-turn and a turn.
Strategic planning, Elias is not here. He's with his daughter in Boston. But we are looking to strategic planning organizations to further develop and see where we are moving. And that's all going to be a part of a workshop that we're going to be hopefully doing in January to develop that. Again, if you want to be on that committee, please reach out to us. Kaya had to drop off, but she did send me a message about the PTO. They had their design, she didn't add this, but they had their designer bag bingo on last Saturday, which was my first one for PTO, and it was, room was packed, and it was, food service, actually, the table behind, behind the food service table. Somebody at that table really racked up a lot of bags. I don't know who it was, but she had at least three gifts that she left with. I was quite jealous because I didn't win any. But it was a really nice event. If anyone has the opportunity to go again, they really do a good job putting it together. She says, Joe Corby's delivery this Friday in the small gym between 2 and 6. Turkey Trot is November 29th for K through 5. Proceeds will benefit security gate at the front of the campus. Okay. And Santa breakfast is December 10th. There you have it. Any other committees that I forget? Did I get anything else? Did I get everybody? Good. Okay. And old business. Now back to you.
All right. I wanted to provide an update on where we are with some of our larger grants. Since over the last couple of years, we've been awardees of larger federal grants than we've probably ever received or any schools received during its duration. So I wanted to share a little bit about where we are with some of those. So for the COVID-related grants, for the most part, there's at least a year or 2 years left on funds that can be spent down on. I'm going to focus on the ESSER III ARP grant because that's the largest grant and the one we have the largest balance still with. To date, we've spent about 58% of that grant, and we have a little over 24 months remaining on it. And areas that we supported with the grant funds, which were awarded during fiscal year 22 and where we are during now, fiscal 23, included an ELL coordinator and support staff, the two CIA coordinators, a Chromebook purchase to complete the initial purchase of when COVID began, and a refresh. To support the summer recovery program for students that were struggling in areas academically that wanted to come in for some extra support the last two summers. Some full-time paraprofessionals, grade 6 through 12 ELA curriculum, which is the study sync implemented last year, and HVAC preventive maintenance. And so a lot of the costs associated with what was budgeted for the grant are, as you can see, a lot of it's personnel related. And the goal with the budget for the grant was to extrapolate those funds over the 3 year period that we have the funding for. So that, because a lot of the items we're addressing with the learning loss and the ability to differentiate instruction within the classroom for those that have been affected most by the pandemic and remote learning. So that a teacher has the tools to teach someone that's struggling with someone that's flourishing. That's what our CIA coordinators are really focusing on, as well as getting our students that have the greatest needs that may have impacted. So that could be, special education areas or the ELL areas. Those things we don't anticipate going away once the funding goes away. So we're anticipating to build that into the school operations over time. And so by stretching this funding over the 3 year period, that allows us to build the capacity operationally to include that as part of the budget. So a lot of the those types of things were planned to spend over a three-year period, which is why to date, you know, through essentially 18 months or so of that, we've spent about 60%. Coming up in the next 2.5 fiscal years that the grant allows for, we're going to continue to fund ELL support staff, CIA coordinators, full-time paraprofessionals, additional part-time to full-time paraprofessional conversion, because last year was the first time we had full-time paraprofessionals here at the school, daytime custodian, an IT help desk admin, and continued evaluation of other areas as what the world looks like 2 years ago, what it looks like tomorrow, it varies over time. So that's kind of where we are with the ESSER III ARP grant. I want to touch a little bit on the, because we've talked about it a lot, the charter school expansion grant that we were awarded. We were awarded in August of 2022 with a submission in July, and the grant period covers October of this year, 2022, and spans through September 30th of 2023. And this is the final year of the DOE application for this grant, so there won't be any extensions. Previous years that other schools have been awarded, they may have been able to carry over funds over a year, but that's not expected for us at this time. So we need to allocate and spend by September 30th of next year. The items that were budgeted for that grant were grades K to 5 ELA curriculum amplifier, which I know we've kind of talked about in some of the head of school updates, which is currently being piloted for evaluation. High school elevator for increased ADA compliance. High school entrance renovation for increased safety. Additional student Chromebooks and staff laptops. As the school continues to expand, we'll have more needs for that and more staff hired. And furniture and other instructional supplies needs. Now, there was a good amount of restrictions on these funds. They couldn't be used for personnel. They couldn't be used for construction. And so the only type of construction you could use were actually to bring parts of your building up to code. So that's where
so
we
the elevator does fit into that.
Yes.
And how much is left on this? Or how much we have on this one?
It was only awarded, we could only begin spending it in October. So
this is the $750,000.
This is the $750,000. So at the moment, I believe all of it is available, but we're currently working now with John Stewart sort of back in the fold on moving forward to some of the larger project portions of this, which require RFPs and coordination and things of that nature. And so we have sort of a plan together to bring that forward before, you know, construction begins or anything of that ilk. Any questions on that?
They don't have any questions?
Jeff, thank you for all this. Is there any way you could please send us this report via email? And is there any way you could put the amounts next to each item?
Sure. I did do that via email already. Last Friday, with the financial documents, I included the budget form and the application for the grant.
Yes,
so you
are correct. Have that already. I'm sorry. My brain is
no problem. But I also... I can send this PowerPoint if it's helpful as more of an overview perspective.
And help me understand, why are we prioritizing the high school elevator versus, let's say, lower school elevator? Do we have an elevator in the lower school?
What's that?
Do we have an elevator in the lower school? I'm not sure.
We do not have an elevator in the lower school. I believe the reason for that is programming reasons. So a student at the high school may have classes upstairs, downstairs, regarding where they are. It's harder to change a complete programming for a high school student. For a lower school student, if it's in K to one, they're likely 80% of their day or 90% of their day is likely taking place on the first floor anyways. That's not to say we don't need an elevator in building 26, because we do. That will likely be a part of the building 27 retrofit will include an elevator that will service both buildings, similar to what we have in building 22 and 21.
Ellen, thank you.
She asked my question.
Oh, she asked your question. Okay. Yeah, Evelyn, do you have any more?
And just to add to that, basically, in the last 2 weeks, we've had two students on crutches that were unable to go to the second floor due to doctor's orders. So we have to relocate all of their work. They have to do everything online, things like that. They have to sit at a table in the in the main lobby and complete their work there. They're not able to travel to their classes. So an elevator is really important.
Thank you.
All right, I believe that's it for me.
Is there any other old business? Any other old business? Oh, is there any new business? Okay. Good of the school. Anybody have anything for the good of the school? All right. I think we're in good shape. We will have a probably a brief executive session tonight. So if we could have somebody put all of us into a room and make a motion, please.
I move to go to executive session.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. All opposed? Let's move. Okay, thank you all. We will come back on to adjourn. This is not a decision-making session, executive session, so good. Hopefully it'll be brief. If you want to stay on to hear it to say goodnight, then that's tuck us in. That's great. If not, thank you for attending, and hopefully we'll see you in here. We do have at least three people here. Thank you for coming, Renee and Dino and Evan, the other person who's on every committee. Thank you for attending, and hopefully we'll see more of you as the days come. Well, it's getting dark, so I don't know if you'll come, but thank you. We'll see you all. We'll move into executive session now.
In the line. Oh, yeah.
We are back in regular session. No action is taken in executive session. Do I hear, is there any other business? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
A motion to adjourn.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
756.
Wonderful. Thank you all for attending. Jamie, thanks for always hanging in there. And happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Take care.
See you.